My voice is still pretty rough, so I'm going to have to
have to
keep the rants down.
Okay. I'll take the lead on this one. No problem. What? Hey, Propagandos. Welcome to another episode. It's your boy, Connor, with Alec. What's up? Tuesday, May 27th at 8:04 p.m. Coming at you live from the Gulf Coast down on the bayou down there.
Blue. Down on the bayou down there. It's been raining, y'all. It's wet and the mosquitoes is out.
Ooh, I'm angrier than a gator at the dentist right now. And these streets are flooded down here, boy. I'm madder than a crawdad in June.
We swimming in it, man.
I saw
hanging out.
Alec, I tell you this, I swear to God, when I saw this, I saw a big old swarm of mosquitoes. They chased me. They form a giant pair of scissors, and they chase my ass around town. Then they form a giant fist, and they start punching me in the legs.
They want to chop your man.
Yeah.
They want to chop a man down.
Anyway.
I don't know what that was.
So but. we had something planned for this week. We had an interview planned, but Alec got sick.
We still do, but my kid got me sick, as you can maybe hear. I don't know. Can you tell on the mic? I assume you can tell on the mic, right?
I can. And especially if you keep going.
Sorry. It's the only way I can keep talking. So there's going to be some of that.
You got to get that Ninja on PayPal Cola. They sponsored that last episode.
I could not get any in time for this record, but hopefully by our next record, it won't matter.
Are you telling me there's nowhere in Lake Charles that would have some Ninja on PayPal Cola?
It's the tariffs, man. We just can't get it to me.
What parish are you in?
Calcasieu.
Calcasieu Parish.
Calcasieu.
I traveled all over Calcasieu Parish, and I cannot find me a drop of Ninja on paper corn there, child.
Yeah. So anyway, we still have something planned, and when I'm feeling better, we'll go over that. Do we want to spoil it?
No.
Nah. Don't tell them. They don't deserve it.
Well, it's a movie. Should we tell people to watch the movie?
Yeah, sure. Go on Netflix and watch, what is it called?
Counterattack.
Contraattack.
Yeah.
But it's in Espanol, so it's Contraattaque.
We're reviewing this Mexican action film, which I have described. Did you end up watching it, Alec?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. All right. Well, listeners, the way I described it to Alec is a Mexican wolf warrior. And if you don't know what wolf warrior is, it's... a fantastic Chinese action film and a legitimately fun action film that I enjoyed way better than Battle of Lake Changjing.
Yeah, Lake Changjing was shit. We should have reviewed Wolf Warrior, but other podcasts have done it. So
yeah,
we're not going to be copiers.
Well, hopefully those podcasts that we're totally not copying haven't done Counterattack yet.
As opposed to our other topic for today, which definitely nobody's covered.
That's right. Alec, would it surprise you to learn that I, after talking to Ted Rall last week, I picked up Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and Its Disastrous Choice to Run Again, and read it in 24 hours. I read it in a day because it was gripping. As in gripping Original my Sin. Hair so I can pull it out. Yes,
because I have dementia. Original Sin, as advertised on CNN by Jake Tapper and everyone else on CNN. Yeah. I don't know. Did you see that Jon Stewart clip where they make the supercut of all the people mentioning that you should pick up the book by our co-host, Jake Tapper? It's so fucking embarrassing, man. It's terrible.
I haven't read any coverage of the book or watched any coverage of the book. I just read it. I mean, I listened to that Chapo episode where they were like touching on certain things.
Well, that's good because I've only listened to and read coverage of the book, and I have only read excerpts of the book that were on Twitter because, as you know, I'm the one who gets all of his news from YouTube videos and Twitter, and Connor actually knows how to read. So.
You're more vibes-based, my man.
I'm a vibes-based man, which means I don't know any facts.
You're effective politics. Yeah, you and Newt Gingrich have that famous line of... my feelings are just as important as your facts.
That's true. Not only is that true, that's unfortunately how politics works in the United States.
Yeah. God, why did I pull that? Did I listen to something that where Gingrich was recently quoted as saying that? What a pull on my end. But yeah, so I read the Jake Tapper book, and I don't know, Alec, I said in our pre-production call today that we got to put an episode out this week. So it's probably going to be a short one. But if you have any questions about the book, I'm happy to answer them. A little tidbit that I told you and I posted online is, if you can, listeners, check out the audiobook on Spotify or something. Find a free way to get it. Audiobookbay.com or something like that. Yeah, fuck Jake Tapper. He doesn't need our money. And so, yeah, and I already bought the book, so I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But if you listen to the audiobook, you get to see, or hear, rather, Jake Tapper do impressions of everyone from Biden to Chuck Schumer to Barack Obama. And boy, howdy, is Jake Tapper's Barack Obama ever so pleasant to listen to. Move sure over Fred Armisen.
I'm sure it's a great impression. Yeah. With a lot of comedic timing and beats.
I could only compare it to, say, I don't know, Billy Crystal as Sammy Davis Jr.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? Do your own audiobooks, folks, because yeah. You get all of the you get to do them how you wrote them. Right. That's and I'm right. sure that when Jake Tapper and his team wrote this book, and or it was, you know, ghostwritten by him and some reporters he hired, I'm sure every time he imagined Obama saying something, it was in Jake Tapper Obama voice, which sounds very funny.
They and every time he did an Obama impression, his editors had to cut the line. You're doing a great job, Jake.
Good job. His setup line yeah. to get into character.
Yeah. I had a buddy that would do that, and his Obama impression, the phrase he would use was Reese's peanut butter cup.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Reese's peanut butter cup. Sasha, Malia, go to bed. Like, that's what he would do every time.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So anyway, so.
And I'm not Jake Tapper, so I can do the
Yeah. We're allowed to on our small neighborhood podcast here.
Yeah.
So as far as I can tell, the book's broken up into about, I'd say, three major themes, mm-hmm. which is stories of Biden absolutely losing his shit and being an old man, yep. Which Jake Tapper apparently knows about now, but didn't then, which somewhat dubious, but maybe. Right. Let's take that. Or let's talk about maybe the meta discussion about the book later.
Right.
Right. So there's Joe Biden doing crazy stuff. Excoriating quotes from Biden aides and Democratic insiders. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll call like the periphery. And this includes like basic and very earnest summarization of like the family members of Hunter, of Jill, and I guess people that don't directly work for Biden, but that are kind of quote unquote part of the cover up, right? People yeah. that know that their dad and or husband and or uncle, grandpa, old coworker should definitely probably not be president and not be running for president again. Mm-hmm. So is that about right? I mean, are there
absolutely? Okay. Yeah, there's definitely some pretty good scenes where like a bunch of Senate Democrats are on a Zoom call and one of them says, "Hey, y'all, you know, I'm up for re-election in a red state and I have the most to lose in this call. So could we please all agree to no leaks?" And it's just like verbatim word for word the conversation. And then like a couple sentences later, that same senator goes, "Hey, I just got like your quote just got leaked to like, you know, to Daily Beast
or something." Immediately.
And, yeah. Like, can we please agree to no leak? It's just so, or not the Daily Beast, Punch Bowl, which Punch Bowl, great gossip. Great DC political gossip.
I might have to look into that.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the Trump gossip is almost just out in the open, right? There's not much subterfuge to this administration.
This would be like this senator is eyeing, or this representative is eyeing this senator's seat, like that kind of thing.
No, it's like blind items. Yeah. It's like they're horny, so they have to use all that innuendo. That's very funny.
Yeah.
But
girl of DC.
I mean, in any case, right? Like the stuff, especially I think from the staffers, is probably the worst of all of it, right? The stuff from I saw excerpts from the part about the debate being planned.
Yeah.
the Zoom call. Apparently they tried to hold these, they tried to have some Zoom calls with, I assume, Democratic voters, but probably like party insiders and friends, right? You get a Zoom call from Joe Biden, and apparently it was a nightmare. Like, they couldn't salvage anything, and they ended up like deleting the whole thing.
Yeah, he would ramble on and on. He would tell a story and then say anyway, and then repeat that exact same story.
Yeah.
Very. And I mean, if you've ever, like Ted said last week, if you've ever had to experience a family member that's sundowning or having dementia, it's. Yeah, there were parts of this book that was like, yep, my nana did that. That happened. I've experienced
it. And it's painful, but I mean, to anybody, you know when you see it. And, you know, I mean, a part of this, I would have to say, right, even my commenting on this book I didn't read, Connor, is like, I am pretty salty about this because, I mean, this was, I remember in 2019, right, like telling liberal friends of mine that like, Biden seems fucked up and off and old. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, doesn't he look like a,
yeah,
like he has dementia, and they're like, "You're fucking crazy!" And
didn't
it's like
that blood vessel. Didn't that blood vessel in his eye just pop on stage?
Yeah,
and blood is filling his eyeball.
So I mean, I have to say that, right? Like, regardless of how we feel about Jake Tapper, and regardless of how, you know, this is a cash grab, and by the way, now this doesn't matter because he's not exactly challenging power now that Biden's has cancer and is openly demented and is not president anymore. I'd say it is still like important and interesting, if only to like justify my own ego, right? That this book is out and these details are now part of like the public record and publicly acknowledgeable, right?
Yeah, it will be something that, you know, Democrats are hoping to run the clock out on. But this is going to be something that come midterms or come the next presidential debate, the Republican opposition is going to hammer on the Democrats about this.
Well,
this will be something that they need to speak on it now, or at least prepare a statement for the next like 2 or 3 years.
And I should be frank, right? Like, by the way, in the vibes, right? In the vibes verse, Connor, on the internet, there have been essentially three responses to this, right? One, our response, or my response, and Ted Rawls' response. I'm not sure if I can speak for you, which is, this is kind of what we knew, and it's so much worse than, you know, even what we knew at the time, like last year and years before. This is definitely worth telling, but somebody should get fucking fired for this, especially and possibly including Jake Tapper. and then the other two, which are solidly like camp, the two camps, right? So you have Democrats that hate Jake Tapper now and are basically saying that he's doing this because he's a Trump stooge and this is a cash grab, which is like true, but it's 50% true, right? And then the Trump guys who were like, this is, you know, not only is this evidence of everything we believed in, right, but are these like Democratic dogs, right, like turning in on each other now that like the alpha has been killed or whatever, which is probably even more true than what the Democrats are saying, unfortunately, right? So like lots of like MAGA accounts like quoting Jake Tapper's book, right? Democrats getting mad about the fact there's a book that they can quote, and then me being like, you know, this tells me something about the party that's not even likely to change given that Biden's gone, right? Like I think this says something about American politics and like power. That's not likely to just go away. This is not going to be a one-off, right?
No, it's not going to go away. I mean, just look at how the Democratic Party has rallied even just before the book came out, after Trump won the election. David Hogg just got pushed out because he, you know, was seen as somebody that was going to shake up the party too much. And whether Democrats, whether you like it or not, AOC is the face of the party. Like, you will find yourself having to kowtow to what she is saying, and you can do it now and gain some actual fucking votes, or you can do it later after you've lost everything, when you're like, we tried nothing and we're all out of ideas, man. Yeah. Like that kind of the Simpsons.
We tried shutting progressives out again and lost again.
Exactly. I'll say that my camp is, I do think this is a big deal. I do think that somebody should be fired or held accountable. When it broke, I did not care. I read the book, I cared, and within 24 hours, I forgot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I there's a new crisis today.
that's just how everyone's shit works nowadays.
I'll say the funniest part of the book for me is there's a great scene where Senate Democrats are I think they're in person, and John Fetterman, junior senator from Pennsylvania, a freshman senator from Pennsylvania, he's basically like, all right, y'all, I want to know right the fuck now who's riding with Biden. Let me see them hands. Come on, y'all, put them hands up. And like two people put their hands up. No, it was five out of the entire Senate Democrat. And he's just like, y'all are fucking him over. Y'all are going to ruin Joe Biden's presidency. And look, I get it. You had a stroke. You're also dumb in the brain. So you and Biden are kindred spirits. But it's also like, dude, you're showing off way too hard for someone who just showed up to the club. Like, get
just showed up, but like a guy who can barely remember your name on a good day, right? Like, the deference is, it has been disgusting in years past, and this like honoring the emperor after he's died is particularly odd to me, right? Like not just Fetterman, right? Like, he can be forgiven, I suppose, due to his bad brain and, you know, all the adrenochrome that I'm sure he got fed, you know, under the Israeli embassy or whatever. But like, especially because of his bad brain and because he's evil. Right. But like, I just don't see it for anybody else. Right. Like, what is gained by this like death cult now of like defending Biden? I don't know, man. Like, it's over. Don't you realize it's been over?
It's really frustrating to see the Democrats practicing what they have railed against the MAGA Republicans for, of that, like, never admit that you fucked up, deny, deny, deny. Like, I cannot help but see the spirit of the specter of Roy Cohn is haunting all of American politics right now. Like, it's not just MAGA Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, it's just two cult parties, right? Yeah. It really does put like all of our propaganda about like North Korea to shame, right? Where it's like, we swear to God his brain works right, and don't you even say that it doesn't after everybody has admitted that that's true, right? Like, I just don't.
One thing I'll give,
we're so cooked, Connor.
One thing I'll give Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson credit for, and again, this could have been Alex Thompson did all the heavy lifting and Jake was like, and then I'll do the audiobook. And so that's how it worked out. But they do have a whole chapter dedicated to the fact that Biden and other Democrats were not admitting the reality of economic woes around the country. And instead were like, no, this is Bidenomics. It's good. It's working. The economy is good. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Jake Tapper called them the Politburo, but it was this team of advisors that would filter out bad and uncomfortable facts for Biden to look at.
Right.
And so Biden, you know, is it real? I don't even know if I can call it a lie if he's not intending to deceive.
If he other
people definitely deceived. Yeah. Right. But if Biden is only being told, dude, your shit smells great, and then someone tells them, actually, your shit stinks. They'll be like, what are you talking about?
In a way, it's so much worse than a lie because he literally doesn't know.
Yeah.
Or like, at least
there are definitely people who lied around him.
Oh, and, of course.
You know, there have been some people that say, oh, this is all Biden. This is all Biden. His ego led him to running for president. I'll agree that his ego, you know, led to him not wanting to step down and not wanting to be that bridge president that he promised he would be. But, dude, Jill Biden, Hunter Biden, the Biden family, and those advisors, those sycophantic advisors, just kept feeding Biden his own shit. And I think, God, I hate to say this out loud because my more conservative MAGA family members were so conspiratorial about these people. But Jill Biden definitely committed elder abuse.
I mean, they were right in a sense, right? I mean, I don't think Joe Biden was eating babies, which is another thing that I heard from the same people.
Right.
I don't think he was eating babies, but he was clearly out to lunch. Although when I say they're right, I was also saying that. I was like, yes, you are correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could see it when they selected Biden. It's not like you and I were happy about it. Well, we were in Nevada. We were in Nevada when Bernie took the Nevada caucus. And it, I think you said it was the last time you felt good about politics in America.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, two burnouts talking about this shit again, but like, it is true. Like, and the thing that I keep coming back to, right, over and over is like one who was in charge, but like, it is so striking that it's possible that in all those clips, Biden actually thought that they were still doing like Build Back Better, right? When they were just doing this like absolutely neutered fucking like, you know, Inflation Reduction Act or whatever that had been absolutely cut to pieces by the same people in the party that were like repeating over and over on TV that Biden is the most, you know, Biden is FDR, right? These people are the ones removing all of this, like, you know, direct payments from the Inflation Reduction Act that had, you know, cut the infrastructure bill, you know, to ribbons. It wasn't just, you know, congressional Republicans. Don't forget.
Right. I do want to talk about some other people, other characters in the book that I think are worth noting. If we had to find a non-Biden family member to go after, to prosecute, to investigate, I would like to put forward the name Mike Donilon. And he was a campaign strategist for the Biden administration. And he was the closest to Joe Biden. And he saw him every day, talked to him every day, made sure that only information he wanted Biden to see got filtered to Biden every day, right? So when Biden says, hey, I'm running for re-election again, I want you to join my campaign, Mike Donilon only agrees to do it for $4 million, making him the highest paid person on the campaign, the highest paid campaign strategist maybe ever. The second highest paid person, who I believe was either Anita Dunn or Jen O'Malley-Dillon, was paid $300,000. So Donilon saw this decrepit man, thought, I'm going to get my bag and fuck off out of here. So, yeah, for that much money, I think he was.
And I mean, we barely know this guy's name. Right. And like, right. I mean, he's one of these people, right, that is whatever happens under Trump. Right. It's not that these people are doing it. It's not that these Democratic consultants are doing it. But by running this like scam, they are in part fucking responsible for all this shit. And I want to be like extremely clear about that. These motherfuckers are to blame, right? In this insane fucking lie for what we're experiencing now. It's not just what they did then. It's like, I don't know that in polite circles, right, I'm going to be able to not say that going forward every time this comes up. And by the way, for the rest of our lives, Connor, right? Like, this is going to come up.
Yep.
Right. Why we're in this fucking position and why, you know, Trump's doing the insane kind of shit that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be able to shut the fuck up about it. I'll try. But God damn, man, it's just it really infuriates me.
So a couple of other things to mention that are very interesting in the book are the Hollywood sickos. Yeah.
Rob Reiner
was, he saw a Zoom call. This is the crazier part too, is like all these celebrities sat in on a Zoom call and watched Biden just like lose it. And Rob Reiner was the guy in the room being like, what the fuck was that? Are we going to do anything about this?
The excerpt I thought it was watching the debate, but I don't know that.
It might have been a debate watch party. Yeah. But Rob Reiner, he saw that people were denying what everyone else was seeing. Rahm and Ari Emanuel. Ari Emanuel was, you know, quite vocal about it. Rahm Emanuel, of course, so many people like shared texts with Jake Tapper once it was politically safe to do so, once they had nothing to lose. And if they didn't, and if Jake Tapper really sat on all this information, that's crazy. I don't know how long he and Alex Thompson sat on the Her tapes, the Robert Her tapes. But if they did not release them when they got them,
I mean, that is the other thing. I hate to just like repeat a thing that somebody else said, but like the Jon Stewart bit was like, so I thought telling the truth and the news is telling people what you know when you know it, right? Like, not doing that sounds like a secret, right? Like keeping a secret, which is, you know, a good way to kind of explain why this is so fucking maddening.
Got to get that money. Got to get that book.
Yeah, I know, man. Ugh.
And then I'll also, some other Hollywood sickos, George Clooney, who maybe our listeners remember the op-ed George Clooney wrote, which was, I love Joe Biden. It's time for him to step down. Because you've heard this or read this already, that Joe Biden, George Clooney hosted a fundraiser. Joe Biden showed up, didn't even know who George Clooney was.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. I mean, the ship was already, you know, sinking into the ocean at that point, but good on him for, I guess, you know, having it was news at the time, which means it was not the norm with the Democratic donor base.
Right.
So like you can grant him at least a little bit of props for, you know, some form of bravery, because it was not the popular opinion at that point amongst guys like him.
That's true. And there's also an Oscar winning player in Hollywood, powerhouse, that had a hand in, you know, continuing the lie, basically. And Alec, I wonder if you could guess who it was that, you know, recorded videos for him, directed Biden in certain debate performances, helped him do like little YouTube or videos or TikTok reels so they could reach out to the young voters. Could you tell me who you think it was that got their hands dirty knowingly at this point and didn't say a fucking word?
Our friend, friend of the pod, Harvey Weinstein. what, Steven Spielberg or somebody?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, yeah. You can count on him to be attached to the most noxious fucking Democrats that come out of California, for sure.
It was really disappointing to see that, like, okay, so you were on set all day with Joe Biden, and it took George Clooney to be brave. George Clooney is now one of the most important people in American history, which is fucking insane. I wouldn't put him in top 10, but he's definitely like,
well, I mean, Spielberg is like, you know, el capo di tutti capi, right? When it comes to like American directors, he is like the end all be all of the Academy. He is right. Like he is the, you know, lib Hollywood sicko.
Damn.
King. Well,
right? Yeah. Yeah. I gotta hand it to him though. But like as angry as I was at Spielberg, I rewatched Minority Report last night.
Still good.
Still very good. Yeah. Very, very silly at times, which is very Spielberg. And like any Spielberg movie, there's always a scene there where you're like, man, I want to do this.
They'll never take Raiders of the Lost Ark from me, brother. It's
when was the last time you saw Jaws? Act three, where they're onto the boat. And I'm just like, fuck my life. I want to be on that boat. I'm going to Amity Island. I'm hanging out on that boat.
I want to go to that boat. I don't know. I mean, I've kind of resigned like Spielberg to, you know, the kind of when I realized that Saving Private Ryan wasn't very good. And then it's basically Indiana Jones and fuck, what are some other Spielberg movies? I mean, I guess I'd watch Jurassic Park if it was up.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. Close Encounters. Yeah. He's had so many movies. Like, you remind me, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was him too.
Didn't he do AI? Yeah, he did AI.
I never did AI. AI is crazy. By the way, that
Kubrick
is a
movie that Spielberg ended up making.
Yeah, and it's Q the movie, by the way. It is like QAnon movie.
Really? I gotta rewatch this thing. Okay.
It's about like child sex trafficking. It's fucked up. It's crazy.
What? Oh my god.
AI? Okay.
Yeah,
the movie about the little boy with like all the weird implications about people like petting him and shit. It is unironically, rewatch AI. It is crazy and creepy and fucked up and weird. It is like when people were like, this is a Q movie, I was like, no, it's not. And then I like rewatched a couple scenes on YouTube and I was like, oh, fuck.
All right.
Unintentional, right? Unintentional for sure.
But I'll rewatch it.
It's wild. Big Kubrick connection there, by the way. Anyway, deep state. but yeah, you fuck all these people, man. I hate them all. I mean, yeah. And again, right, like, when did they know it, right? Mr. Jake Tapper, right. You've interviewed Biden. You know everybody in the administration. Don't tell me that around the water cooler people didn't tell you, right? Still important to write the book now, but a lot less important than writing it maybe 2 years ago. Thank you very much.
That is one thing. So within the narrative of the book, Jake Tapper does say that the moment he realized, because Biden also, his advisors kept him secluded from a lot of different people. So it's some plausible stuff of Jake Tapper being like, I hadn't seen him in a while. But he did say that the moment he realized Biden was not all there was the debate that he moderated with Dana Bash. And that night, Jake and Dana both were commenting on like, what the heck?
I remember it's going to be one of those 9/11 things where like, I remember where I was when I saw it because it like shook the world. Right. I was just like, holy fuck. It's so much worse than we thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so interesting because in one of my classes, I would want to talk about how Biden's just this doddering old fool and a professor shut that shit down. It's like all of that stuff is so heavily edited. Like you will be able to see like they find one moment and they stretch it out or they edit it out of context. And they had like two or three examples to show like Republican editing. Like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe I am kind of falling for some of this propaganda, huh? And then watching the debate, like, nope, I was right the first time.
I was right all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's rough, y'all. Anyway, is there anything worth talking about, like, in the periphery, right? Like, there's some juicy tidbits about Hunter being a piece of shit with his baby mama, I think.
Okay, there's an explanation as to why Michelle Obama hasn't been showing up to stuff.
Because she's a man. isn't that? I think there was another
looking glass here, people.
There was like another conspiracy about Michelle Obama that was not the trans panic nonsense, but like a different one that I've forgotten. And I
there
can't
was,
remember what it was.
The rumor that Michelle Obama is divorcing Barack Obama.
Yes.
And Barack Obama is dating Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. Oh, fuck. I was like, yeah, there's some like cheating story or something.
Yeah. No. Well, it's kind of a cheating story. So Michelle.
Did that not turn out to be true, Connor? Was that not in the book?
What happened? All right. So what happened was that Michelle Obama was really, really close with Ashley Biden, Hunter Biden's ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I get all of them mixed up. Tell you what, we'll scratch the first names from these people because it's when he has an affair with Bo Biden's wife or widow. And I don't remember her fucking name. So anyway, Hunter Biden cheats on his wife with his brother's widow. And gets her addicted to crack, which is fucking insane. And so while all this is happening, Jill Biden is like, fuck Hunter Biden's ex-wife. She's no good. She's trash.
Oh,
we don't
God.
Talk to her anymore. And Michelle Obama is like, no, she's my friend. I'm siding with her instead of y'all. And so Jill Biden and Michelle Obama do not like each other. So
drama.
So Michelle won't show up to shit if Jill Biden's there. And man, it's pretty crazy how many instances in this book you're like, whoa, Jill Biden's not very nice.
There's
such a funny scene where it's Jill Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Christine Pelosi, Joe Biden, and oh my gosh, this advisor to Jill Biden, like her top closest advisor, this dude that like does all of her outfits and like is her right hand man, right?
No clue, man.
So while they're at the table eating, they're taking photos and Jill makes an offhand comment saying, oh, should we get another photo for the reelection announcement? And Christine and Nancy Pelosi are just like, what the fuck are you talking about? So Christine remembers being shocked and appalled. They're like, what the hell are you talking about running for reelection? This is 2022. And so Nancy Pelosi turns to Joe and it's like, what's Joe talking about there? And apparently Joe Biden was just like, have a fobble double.
like
food in his mouth, like hot a potter bottle. And
apparently
that was the moment Nancy Pelosi was like, I got to start making moves. But all this time, we all thought that Nancy Pelosi was the one who said, hey, I'm going to invoke the 25th Amendment and get you kicked out of office to Joe. If you don't step aside, turns out it was Chuck Schumer who had the stones to reach out to those advisors that were, you know, Michael Donilon and keeping Joe Biden secluded from everybody. And Chuck Schumer said, I need to meet the president. They kept pushing him off until finally Chuck Schumer said, I want to meet the president. And if you do not set up a meeting with him, I will make this call publicly and we will meet in public in front of cameras. And they called him back within an hour, like, all right, you have your meeting. Because that, what did that imply? That the advisors knew, don't put Joe in front of a fucking camera.
Oh, yeah.
They knew, and they did nothing.
It's just I should not be surprised, since we've known this basically for years, Connor, and like discussed it, right? Like, I guess privately, since publicly our public statements are this podcast. We've discussed it like between ourselves, but like it's still so shocking whenever you see in writing that just like nobody is behind the helm. Right. Like, and to be honest, right, like once a guy like Biden gets into office, there is no higher authority like within the state, within the party that you can turn to. There's nobody that can back him down off of this fucking ledge. Right. Without, by the way, like essentially, I mean, what is trying to be avoided here by both like Pelosi and Schumer and Democratic donors is going to war with the president, essentially. Right. And saying, we like trust our party, by the way, you should vote for us. But the guy that we elected last time is fucking demented. And we are here to tell you that to get him to fucking resign. Right. Like there's nobody that can yank fucking Biden off of the stage. Right. With like the, what do they call that thing? That hook or whatever. Shepherd's
big
hook.
Big old cane.
Yeah. Cane. Yeah. That thing.
Vaudeville.
There's nobody that can do that. No, nobody can hold him to account over the fact that he is going to blow this. And then he did, right?
Yep.
And when I say that, like, this, nothing's going to change in that regard, it's because the structure of the party is not going to change in that regard.
Yeah.
If you get a fucking megalomaniac, you know, much less somebody that has fucking dementia, right? I guess, is that the worst case scenario? Or could we, do we want to try and imagine something worse, Connor?
Okay. He's actually like one of those Men in Black robots where you press his ear and his face comes off and that weird little big eyed bozo's in there.
There's a bunch of little homunculuses in there.
The alien has dementia.
The alien has dementia. They could figure out that he's secretly Chinese. That would be bad.
Okay. Why would that be bad?
because they're trying to destroy America, Connor.
Are we talking like actually a Chinese national?
Oh no, yeah, I mean like a spy.
Oh, okay. Thought you meant like he like rubs his face.
Wait, and like Andrew Yang is Chinese?
Yeah. Okay, all right. Oh man, he's not real. Hologram.
He's a hologram. Very good.
Hologram. The hologram president is one of my like actual post-apocalyptic or not post-apocalyptic, just dystopian fears. That's like, yeah, we'll just have some deep fake and no one will ever see the president in person again.
I mean, they could go into like the FBI vault with like all the Epstein tapes and they're just like a whole shelf with like whoever.
Yeah. The Biden files.
John Johnson. Right. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Okay. So he's all over. I think is Joe Biden one of the few people in power in America that did not go to.
Yeah, I mean, what the QAnon angle is that he sniffs like every child that comes within a 10-foot radius of him. But we cannot pretend like he's not on the Epstein list because he's not. Right. Like old Joe is hanging out with like his family while his like son smokes crack in the other room. And like, you know, he's just like zoned out watching TV, eating ice cream.
He doesn't have to get on to Lolita Express. He's Catholic. He can do it right here at home.
As far as we know, he's not a sex pedophile, which is. For everything that sucks about Biden, and it's most things, he's not that. It doesn't seem like.
Right. Okay. All right. That he's been dead. Kamala killed him, and it's been like a body double.
A body snatchers, which is different than a hologram, by the way.
That's right. That's right. He's just been cloned. But the story would have to be like Kamala like personally beheaded him with like a samurai sword or something.
Which, oh my God. I mean, if we could fantasize about things that would be cool, it's the public execution of Joe Biden for being too old.
Yeah.
Dishonoring the nation.
But he's too old, but he's still like super fit. And like, okay, so here's what happened. Joe Biden. All right. So I reviewed the documents right here. This dossier right here. I reviewed these. And this is what happened, folks. Joe Biden being a clear body, clear mind, sound body of mind. He was going to run for re-election and he was going to win. And Kamala Harris was jealous. And so what they did, they trepanned him and drilled a hole in the back of his head. And that's why he had blood coming out of his eyes, coming out of his wherever, and why he is the way he is. I mean, these people are monsters.
These people are sickos. These people are monsters.
These people are monsters, folks. And you're trying to tell me that the globalists aren't, you know, getting together in each shadowy back room. Oh, no, we're just getting together to talk about kumbaya. We're getting together to talk about how we're all going to share things. No, they're talking about how they're going to take away your rights and my rights. Wake up, patriots.
Joe Biden is a loyal retainer to the daimyo. And these horrible eunuchs, okay, they're plotting against him. That he did not break the Bushido code. He did not draw his sword in the emperor's chambers. This is all a lie, folks. And they made Joe Biden commit seppuku in the emperor's palace.
Here's the thing, folks. Kamala Harris,
seconded by Kamala Harris.
And Kamala Harris was perfectly fine with just being, you know, a subject of the daimyo. And then, let's say 2020 happens, she gets to taste the power, and suddenly she's got her eyes on the shogunate. All right, she will stop at nothing to behead Joe Biden in the streets. But you can't behead him. So what does she do? She drills a hole in the back of his head, and suddenly he's got dementia.
Joe Biden's 47 Klansmen were in the right when they went to Edo and beheaded the usurper Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in their beds, and they committed honorably seppuku in front of the temple in Edo, and we will all pray at the. By the way, this is Chushin Ingara, the legend of the 47 Ronin. You can watch many wonderful 60s era films about this. Not read, unfortunately, by Alex Jones, which would only elevate the legend, which is apparently at least true in parts.
Oh man,
what the fuck? What was his name in the? What's the actual dude's name? Not Asahi. That's a beer. Fuck.
Oh. You're the one who told the story.
I'm gonna feel it starts with an A. Hold on.
Okay.
This is now the exercise of how long can we do this before I have to cut all of it.
I'm going to tell you now that if I ever find myself in a position of power,
Asano. Lord Asano. Okay. Sorry.
I'll tell you right now, if I've ever find myself in a position of power, which I am forced out of, I will blame these trifling ass eunuchs in the palace.
I would too. Folks, you can't trust them. Yeah. They've got no genitals. We made sure of that.
You may be sitting here asking yourself, why do you take a man's genitals? Well, after that, he has nothing left to lose.
He has no women to betray you for.
I do.
They have no desire for power or the throne of blood.
I do remember in one of my college poli-sci classes, we read like the Education of Cyrus. Xenophon for those.
Xenophon in Polish. Yeah, and so, which is always funny.
There is a chapter dedicated to like, this is why you need eunuchs, because, you know, if you take a man's testicles, they can't take your wife. They lose all aggression. They kind of like owe you because now they have nothing to offer the world. So you make a really loyal man out of chopping off his nuts and just like sitting there freshman in college, like, what the fuck? These are those Marxist professors my parents were warning me about.
They want to turn us gay by chopping off our balls. By the way, results may vary on the loyalty of your eunuchs. I'm not joking, right? Like, it turns out that as Connor's illustrating, they are not necessarily thankful for the rest of their life that you did that to them.
Yeah, no. Beware the eunuch who offers to bring you a nice dessert.
I did not realize. I think my Alex Jones is better now that my voice is fucked up. Alex Jones's problem is that he has a sinus infection permanently. He's had a sinus infection for 30 years.
Pretty good.
Either that or he smokes too many cigars. I'll workshop it.
I think it's pretty good. I think we should absolutely get the Ninja on Paper Koa, and we should do a whole episode of Alex Jones. We should do a conspiracy theory episode.
Yes.
And only do it as Alex Jones or what the guy's name got in the FBI shoot off? William Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Cooper. Yeah. Behold a pale horse.
There you go.
I'm guessing. I definitely don't know this off the dome.
That's some insanely deep conspiracy shit that rules.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I can't get over Alex Jones going over like ancient history. That'd be so sick.
Dude,
just in that voice.
That's a great pivot for him. He's like, I'm doing a history podcast.
Folks. Welcome to the Revolutions podcast, folks. I'm doing the whole thing verbatim from the top.
I would love it.
InfoWars has acquired the rights to the Revolutions podcast.
So we got anything else, my man?
Not really, folks. My voice is really starting to get fucked up. It's hurting. So I think I'm going to have to sign out pretty soon.
I think you've done enough. It's time.
Thank you, brother.
You can finally rest.
I did get to get mad at Joe Biden again, which was nice. I mean, hey, by the way, shouts out listeners to my main man, Connor, for going out and getting us guests like actual editorial cartoonist Ted Rall, because I don't know how the fuck we're swinging these guests.
Well, once we're out, ask.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, but I definitely would never have the opportunity to rant and rave about shit with him had it not been for Connor. So
yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, without you, we wouldn't have Armor. I love having Armor on.
That is true. Yeah. But yeah, once I'm done mining the Radio Warner community for people to come on our podcast, we're going to be in deep shit.
No, that's the crazy thing, man. Like, you just find someone and ask them. You just ask them.
And I'm going to have to start reading books.
That's how it worked with Ted, is I just reached out like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? And he's immediately, but he was just like, hell yeah, that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, what up?
Listeners, if you are scared about reaching out to somebody, you're nervous about it, they definitely won't come on your podcast if you don't ask.
Yeah,
a hungry mouth, a closed mouth does not get fed. Who do you think would be like a big get? No, I mean, obviously Donald Trump.
You're just going to make me start dreaming. I mean, I would actually love, speaking of which, see if Alex Jones just has a contact email somewhere, because that would be one of the funniest things. I mean, I can unironically say I am a big Alex Jones fan from way the fuck back, and that would be amazing.
Do you think if we told him like, hey, we kind of want to avoid talking about the lawsuit? Because like we can't really like have you, we can't bring up Sandy Hook without like getting mad.
No, let's not talk about that. I mean, yeah. I would love to talk about like his early career and how'd you get started, right? Like, yeah. He's got to have so many, you know, stories about that he's not exactly in the mood to tell right about now, maybe on his own show.
Listeners, if you sign up for the Discord, please let us know. Alex Jones or nah? If enough people say nah, then obviously we won't do it.
Then obviously we'll still contact him and talk to him privately. Pretend to record and then not release it.
I have no idea what I'd do if my friend's like, so you interviewed Alex Jones, huh?
Yeah, that would be Connor's getting in trouble for that one, folks.
Hang on. My dog's being cute. I gotta take a photo of him.
Also, I'm joking, but I'm also not joking. Please go watch Chushin Ingura. You can watch the 1962 Toho version. You can watch the one from, I think, 1939. They're all like 3 hours long. They're a great like put on and chill. You know, have a beer, smoke a fucking doob, do whatever. They're fantastic samurai tales. They're great.
Awesome. Well, on that note, I think I'm going to let you relax your throat a little bit. This is what you get for kissing people.
Kissing your baby.
Okay.
What were you going to say? Kissing people at the bus stop?
I was going to say kissing people at Delta Downs.
Yeah, boy. You know I'm getting it in there at the Downs.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Sorry for it being a short one, but Alec is sicky. So we'll see y'all next week with hopefully a really cool guest talking about Counterattack. Watch it on Netflix before the episode so you can follow along with our discussion.
Contra-attaque.
Yeah. And with that, excelsior, propagandos. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye.